Hi, my name is Mark Rogers, and I go to an assembly with some of us here an hour west of here, the west of them. This is my first time doing this. I have looked forward to speaking to them for a group for a long, long time. And I enjoy speaking to young people, and specifically about the Word of God, because the Word of God can get you, gets me invigorated. And I'm hoping that maybe tonight I'd like to do this a little differently, because I also know that a lot of you are burning your candles at both ends right now. Lack of sleep, a lot of play. And I also know this. I'm standing between you and ice cream and games. So I want to make this very, very interactive is the word, okay? I can do an address, but let's not do an address. So what this means is that we're gonna take up real briefly the man of Daniel. And I have an idea that everybody here, these young people here, all know a fundamental understanding of Daniel. And I would love to take up just a few points, we only have like 20 minutes here. And I also know too that things are changing right now. One thing I told the young people back home, I told my own kids, is you are making the most decisions. Let me ask this question first. Who's here that is 14, 15, 16, maybe 17? Raise your hand. That ain't private. There you go. Okay? I'm going to talk about Daniel because Daniel is going to be somewhere in that age bracket. Okay? And the other thing I'd like to talk about is between the ages of 15 and 25, I believe you're going to be making the most changes, most decisions for the rest of your life in that age bracket. For good or for bad. And so I want to impress upon that is that you are going to cherish this 10-year period of time if you're in that bracket, because that is going to put a trajectory for the most part as to what your path may be down the road, unless the Lord intervenes on things. Okay. Now, another thing is too, back home, is I've had a couple ask me, Mark, you're going to use a, or Dad, you're going to use a whiteboard. I said, nah, I'm not going to use a whiteboard, right? But Eric, I got here, I see a whiteboard, do you not? And I brought pens, all right? Okay. So I brought pins, and I asked for permission, and it does light off. So here we go. But before we do, let's ask the Lord for help. Our Father, our God, we're thankful for these young people. We're thankful so much for this time that you had here these last 2 days. What a tremendous time it's been. And now we ask for just a few more treasured moments as we speak about this man. Father, we know that I must call him, O man, greatly beloved, and we just look at him for a few minutes here. We pray for these young people as they have their minds ahead of them, and we ask for help for the time here. In our Lord Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so, like I said, if we're going to do this right, I am asking for just shout out one. When I ask for a question, I want you to give an answer. I don't care if we speak over each other. One word answers, and I'm going to take it down from there. The two categories I'd like to talk about tonight, real simple, is going to be the world system. Okay? We're going to talk about world system, and this is all going to come out of the first chapter of Daniel, for the most part. First chapter of Daniel. And the second topic is going to be Daniel's behavior, more or less. There's some items there, okay? So the first one we're going to talk about is the world system. Who can tell me, out of the first chapter of Daniel, I'll just give the preface here, let me give some background here. This is important. Daniel, they say, is about 16 years old when he's taken out of Judah. And when he's taken out of Judah, he is hauled out of there. When the Babylonians come down, the Babylonians came down there three different times, and he came down on the very first time. They came around, circled around the two tribes, and they took out Daniel and his friends and a bunch of other guys and left with him, right? And that was on the first cycle, and then Nebuchadnezzar came down two more times. But Daniel was already in Babylon at that time. So he's 16 years old, thereabouts, and in the first chapter, and he's introduced immediately into a new system. You know, anybody have an idea how large Babylon is, give or take? Yeah. No, no, no. 100 miles by 400 miles. That's how big, something like that. The walls were 86 feet wide. You had chariot races on them. They had 100 gates, 100 bronze gates or whatever. Daniel is transported with all these young men and young women into the system that's absolutely different. And he did it in a matter of 60, 90, 100 days, right? Life changed. Let me tell you something. Ukrainian young people over there have had their lives changed in 60 days. Their lives have changed. Your lives can change in just a few days. Daniel changed. He had his system. He got up out of, and I don't know what it's going to be interesting to get to glory to someday talk to him. What was it like back in Judah? Because what he did, he took with him out of Judah and he transported into Babylon. My question is, what does Babylon look like? Anything? We're getting a lot of hints in the first chapter of Daniel. It all applies today.
System of idolatry.
There you go. Okay, we're going to put idols up here. You betcha. Let's put that up here. Idols. What do we see? We find that Belteshazzar says, I want to take all your golden cups and everything, and I want to take them out of your holy house down there in Jerusalem. I want to put them in my idols, my house of idols. That's what happened, right? So he's immediately confronted with idols everywhere. What else?
Trading business.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it was like a really big, like, trading hub and, worldly merchandise.
Okay, major, you talk about major commerce, there was that coming through, okay? Okay, now, to that, Daniel is being sought after for what reason here? He says, I want the best men to be in the courts. I want the best men to serve me, right? The best men. What's another thing? King's meat, all right? Let's call it diet. Okay? Diet. What else got changed? Anybody?
Language.
Language got changed. Sorry, you can't read it back here, but this is my scribble. Language. Language got changed. What else got changed? Yes?
Names.
Names got changed. That's right. Names got changed. Yes.
How about bad behavior?
Bad behavior got changed? Yeah. Well, they were already good boys, though. Every one of them were good boys. That's what they were got. Yeah.
Clothing
got changed. You're right. What happened? Because the king says, I want the best on those guys, right? He says, I want the best. All right? Clothing got changed. Good. I did not think of that. Because we see that over and over again. That the king always wants to have his young men in his courts. He wanted them to be dressed as the best, and you can see it all the way through Daniel. There's one more thing that happened to Daniel. One more thing, very important. Yes?
Made a eunuch.
All right. Now I want to take this and go, do you see this in today's society? Do you see these traits in today's society? Okay, let's start with idols. Let's start at the top of the list. Idols. We heard some things. Idols. Here we go. Let me ask you this. Is this an idol? Yes, it is. It can be an idol. Is it a tool?
Yes.
It is a tool. How about YouTube on here? Is YouTube a tool? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm learning a software right now, and I'm learning all my software based upon looking at that software up on YouTube. Okay? When does it become an idol?
When you are mundane.
Yeah, okay, and then?
He's out of context.
What do you mean by out of context? Wrong reason. We heard something today, a four-letter word today, starts with a T. What is that?
Time.
Time. That will tell whether that's an idol. How much time you spend on it. Now myself, I happen to like Facebook, but you know, one thing I have said for myself, I don't have Facebook on my smartphone, my cell phone. A little history is, I used to work for Hewlett Packard way back before there were smartphones and there were Blackberries. And we got to see in the technology world what this was going to become, and it's interesting where it has become, because now we are all connected. That's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. Okay, idols. So we do have idols today. We're full of idols. I say that idols have just the electricity pole plugged into them. But, as was said today, it can be sports. It can be many other things that can consume our time. It consumes away the affection for Christ. All right, let's see here. Diet. Diet would kind of play into that a little bit as well, because that's the media flowing in, all right? Language. Yeah, the language is changing. You know something interesting? The world will determine if you're a Christian or not by not using certain words, right? If you don't use God's name in vain, that's going to determine something. Or some kind of synonym of that. G. Or whatever it is. There's a lot of them. So the language, you don't have to say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, and merely your language will betray you. Names. Names, and I want to go down to unit here. This is very interesting. We have something that's hit us here in the last, I don't know, really hard in the last 12, 24 months, and specifically in the corporate world, which I no longer work in, is we now have gender neutrality. The world system does not want a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And Babylon's system, world system, says, I'm going to take these boys that are supposed to be God's men, and you can read it in the Pentateuch, you can read that the young men were to be godly men in certain ways, and a eunuch was not one of them. The problem is I believe that eunuchism, if that is a word, is taking over today a youthful generation. And I'm not meaning from a sexual way either. I'm talking about a man not being a man just by merely shaking his hand. Or a man's word is a man's word. Clothing, I like that. Clothing. That's very interesting. Very defining, is it not? Is it not defining? The world has, I'm not a girl, but, you know, those that will shop for girls' clothing, I get it. It's a very difficult prospect, I understand. Thankfully, had a wife that's been able to put together, search out clothing and put it together so that it is modest. Okay? Clothing. Clothing distinguishes it. Now, hey, I like sports. What's the number one thing in sports you got to have? You got to have the right gear if you're going to be on the right team, right? It determines who you are. Clothing is a very key thing as to who you are. Very key. You see two guys walking down the street and they wear white shirts and black ties, you know who they are, right? Clothing is an identifier. All right. This is the world system. I don't want to go into it. I hope that gives you some food for thought. It's all in the first chapter of Daniel, more or less. Okay, we doing all right on time? Let's talk about Daniel's behavior. You like Daniel's behavior? All right, I do too. This is very good. All right. Easy question. There's not going to be as many answers here probably, but what is one attribute of Daniel? You need to let somebody else hit. Yeah, there's a whole bunch
faithful.
Of people. Back here. Purpose in his heart. Let's use that. You bet. Yes. So he's purposing in his heart. Purpose of heart. Now that's a very good one. I've enjoyed that, but I didn't have that down, and I want to elaborate on that. Purpose of heart. Purpose of heart says there's a goal in mind. Right? Right? In other words, if you're in a baseball game, you're in the batter's box, and the ball's coming at you, what's the purpose? No. If you're in the batter's box and you're, sorry, if you're hitting, if you're swinging, what's the purpose? The purpose is to get on first base. However that happens, to get on first base. That's purpose. Purpose of heart. Daniel had a purpose of heart. Somehow, whatever happened back there in Judah and Benjamin, I don't know if I remember what tribe he's from, but he got taught something there that he came out of there and he's landing in this situation with him and three friends, and there's a bunch of other guys, but only those four guys are being detailed out, and they had purpose of heart somehow. Okay? What's one other thing for Daniel's behavior? Yes?
He was a man of prayer.
Man of prayer. Very good. All right, now this one I would like to come back to. That's a very good one, and it's got a few aspects to it. Let's continue on and we'll come back to that. One more. That's something else. Yes?
He chose good friends.
Good friends. I had not thought about that. That is very good. Very good. All right. Good friends. That's good. And you're going to see that in chapter 2. Chapter 2 has that. Chapter 1 has it, but chapter 2 even more so. All right? All right. Now a little bit tough. There's some questions I asked that are a little bit more advanced. Anybody else got any other thoughts? Yes? There you go. I love that. Sorry for being ecstatic. I love this one. I love this one. All right. We're going to come back to this too. He separated from and he separated to. It doesn't do any good if you're separated from, you're not separated unto something. Okay? All right. We're going to come back to that. One other one. And you will see this with happening both with Nebuchadnezzar with the vision, and you're going to see it with Belteshazzar it's an attribute that Daniel has when Belteshazzar saw the writing on the wall.
Prophet?
What?
Is it prophet?
Prophet, what was that? Word from God. Okay, same thing. I like it. Word from God. And I just going to put it in my words. I had shared God's plan. Okay, same thing. Shared God's plan. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, there we go. We got some meat to chew on here. All right? You like that? We got some meat to chew on. All right. All right. So let's talk about the separated from and to. Give me an example. We're going to dive that one real quick. Separated from and separate unto. What did he separate from and what did he separate unto?
Separated from the world system to God, God's system.
Yeah, but example. I'm going to dive in. Do we have a remembering of where that might be in Daniel? I'll tell you what. Let's open the scriptures here. Let's go to chapter 5. I got to put on glasses. You may not put it. Let's go to chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 and this is the handwriting on the wall. Now, I'm going to take up number 4 and number 5 here. Chapter 5 of Daniel is the one where Belteshazzar is having 1,000 princes and he's having a big party and it is just a good time, and then what happens?
Writing on the wall.
There's a hand that's on the wall. And it says that Belteshazzar's loins did what? smoke together, smacking together, it just smacking together, right? He's got 1,000 of these guys in there with all their concubines and all their wives going on. And they had to pull Daniel in. Daniel was separated. Best I can tell from the context here in Daniel 5, he was not at that party. Right? The queen mother says, verse 11, there's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel. You have an opportunity, I have an opportunity, to do the very same thing. There are people that are concerned right now as to where things are going. They are concerned because the world is changing, and it's changing in a scary fashion. No sooner had we been locked down as a world for 2 years due to this pandemic than a war breaks out that looks very similar to the entry level of World War II. Read the history of World War II. It looks very similar to it. And the Europeans are scared of that. But we have an opportunity that if we are separated from the world system and we have a fundamental understanding, what did Paul tell Timothy? Rightly divide the word of truth. And this goes for not only young men, but it goes for young women as well. You have the ability to share one-on-one, if you will, God's plan for them and God's plan for this world. Because what did we have here about a week or two ago? Earth Day? Isn't that solemn to think that everybody's worshiping Earth, if you will, but the Earth is going to be burned up at some point here? Okay? So Daniel is called. He had to be called in. He was separated from the party. He's being brought in. And he's got a job to do, and he's there to share God's plan. All right, let's look at this. Let's look at the next chapter. It's chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, this is interesting, too. This is a very common verse, Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He is separated from the street. Now, we know that Daniel sat in the gate. But to pray 3 times a day, apparently he went into his house and he threw his windows open. Now, it also says here, it says, toward Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? When he was shopping for real estate for an apartment, he bought a house that had a westward view, is it, towards Jerusalem? I think Babylon is east. And so he's looking towards Jerusalem. Why?
Because God dwelt there.
God dwelt there. Now, interesting enough, you're right, and yet God isn't dwelling there, but more importantly, it is God's center. Absolutely. And that's the point I wanted to make. He, even though he couldn't be here, he was still respectful that God has a center. In Christendom today, and it's getting pervasive, that there is a thought that God does not have a center today. I'm here to tell you on the Word of God that God has a center today. And happily, if you were here this morning, it was in here in this region in Walla Walla, it was right here, I believe. God has a center he's given us. And many of us, obviously, during this pandemic, were caught in a situation where we couldn't go to be with the Lord in the center collectively. Okay? So, he is separated from, and he's also determining there is a center. All right, what else have we got here? Prayer. Well, we covered the prayer there, but there's some other things here too. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 on prayer, real quick. So the gist of chapter 2 is the king says, you're not going to tell me my dream. I'm going to go ahead and start killing all you wise men, all you soothsayers, all you astrologers. And Daniel says, oh, no, me? Give me some time. And what does he do? He goes back and he has, we know he has good friends. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice to be able to come together with some friends to bear up prayer? Because I'm going to say something right now. There's stuff coming, and I don't know what it is that's going to require some individual prayer, but also some friends' prayer getting together. Don't think the Ukrainians, don't think the Russian kids. You don't think that they're not getting together in prayer because life is on the line for some of those folk. Don't think the Chinese are locked up. Or in Shanghai or one of these cities, the COVID, there's millions of people locked up, committing suicide. Don't think that there's not prayer going on during a situation like that. And so here he brings together verse 17. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time, that the king would, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his followers would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, this is the first recording of a public prayer in Scripture. Probably happened before, but that's where we get the first time that you have a collective prayer meeting. Where's another collective prayer meeting in the Scriptures? Peter's in jail, yeah. Okay, that's one. It's another one, too. Peter what?
Sorry, Jesus praying at Lazarus' grave.
A collective prayer meeting there? He's praying there, but I'm talking about a collective prayer meeting.
Wasn't there, didn't Mary come to
Lazarus? It's an Acts. It's an Acts. Yes? I'm sorry? Yeah. I like that. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good one. Yeah. When they were getting together, that 12th apostle, they were praying. Yes, Acts. Good call. That's an Acts too. There's another one. It says where prayer was wont to be made. Yes. By the river. Who was it? Paul actually shows up. It's actually some sisters. Isn't that nice?
Lydia.
Cellar of Purple. Where prayer was wont to be made. Isn't that beautiful? By the riverside. So prayer, what kind of prayer is there? There is individual prayer. This is a broad subject. Individual prayer. There's collective prayer. But there's some other stuff here. Let's go to chapter 9. Because Daniel's going to describe that. Chapter 9 and verse 3. Here we go. Intercessory prayer. Daniel 9:3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto God, the Lord my God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep in the covenant of mercy of them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. Now, interesting enough, do you read about Daniel sinning? Don't read about it. But he's interceding on behalf of his people. That is a type of prayer. Interceding on behalf of someone else. What else does it say? It says supplications. What did we hear at the conference here? There's a couple things they're bringing in. We heard something about sometimes prayers are getting to be a lot of health issues or something. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's easy. It's easy because I see somebody over here and they got health and I'm going to pray for them. But have you thought about, and I love what Brother Michael Bryan says. I love it. What's he say? He says, give more praise than petition. Give more praise than petition. Do you understand right now? The Lord Jesus is up in heaven and he's not on his throne. He's on his Father's throne. Think about that. And there's a day coming he's going to have his own throne. but give him honor and glory for being there and being interceding for us. And you and I both need intercession. He is the great intercessor for us on our Father's throne. It's beautiful. Okay. Before I go any further, we missed one over here in Daniel's behavior, and we see it back here. A little hint. It's back here in chapter 9. And we see it here. This is very interesting. I think this might be the only place in this Word of God. Verse 2. Anybody see it? It's another behavior of Daniel. I'm not going to give the answer. I need the answer. Huh? No, chapter 9, verse 2.
Yeah. Say it again.
Read the scriptures.
Read the scriptures. There you go. There you go. Read the scriptures. What did he read? Jeremiah. He read Jeremiah. Interesting enough, Jeremiah was kind of a contemporary, but somehow he got a scroll of Jeremiah. And he read Jeremiah, and he found that God had given Jeremiah something about 70 weeks, which is a beautiful thing in and of itself, but he got it from reading the scriptures. Isn't that beautiful? So Daniel's a man of prayer. He's a man that reads. He's a man that's separated. He's able to share God's plan with people, and he's got purpose of heart. Let me ask you something. All those other kids that you see in the chapter 1, you ever hear about any of those other guys? No. I don't know where they are. I know the three friends are sitting there. Isn't that beautiful? This is Daniel, and he's separated. He's in the world, and he's separated from the world. He's separated to God, but I like what one writer says. He's first serving God, and then he's serving man, because who did he serve? He went through two kingdoms. You talk about a CEO or a CFO that goes through some companies. This guy, he saw Nebuchadnezzar go on. He saw his son Belteshazzar, or grandson, whatever he is. And then he saw Cyrus come in. He saw the massive Babylonian system come in, and then the Medes and Persians overnight. But you know something interesting? Is that we need young men and young women moving forward, and you can ask the old ones in the back, how fast are we sliding? I hate to break it to you. We're on a double black diamond here, and you don't know it. You're about ready to get the double black diamond. It's going fast. It's sliding fast. And you're going to have these traits here. And I'm going to wrap up because I'm having a good time. But there's one thing here that you and I have. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's something that you and I have that Daniel did not have. What is it?
Spirit dwelling.
Beautiful, okay? Perfect. There's a couple. The Holy Spirit dwelling. I want to dwell on that. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on him. What the Old Testament saint? The Old Testament saint, as David would say in Psalm 51, "Let not thy Holy Spirit leave me." That was a fear. Can you imagine living in a system, honoring God to the best of your ability, hoping that God would be merciful? But you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, we have the security of the triune, one part of the triune Godhead living inside of us. What's another one? It's along the same lines.
New birth.
Huh?
New birth.
New birth, yes. It basically, we have a Savior. Right? Daniel wasn't looking back at a Savior that died on the cross for him, did he? You and I can look back and you can see a Savior hanging on the cross for you and I. And we can relish in that. And a resurrected one too, right? Yeah, you didn't have that. So those are things that you and I have. And the other thing is, we have the Father. That's the whole book of Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus says, "I've come to show you the Father." Daniel didn't have the Father. He had Jehovah. It's a more distant relationship. You and I have the Father to go to. We have a personal Savior, and we have the Holy Spirit. Daniel didn't have that. But Daniel was living to beyond, if you could say, what normal Jews. And the thing is, he was succumbed to the sins of his fathers. The sins of his fathers was putting him in Babylon, in this wicked system. All right, let's wrap here. All right, so let's turn over, let's repeat what Brother Bob said today. This is on my heart. 2 Timothy 1. And, you know, I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and this all kind of came to me, and this verse came to me here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse, it's middle verse 12. For I know who I am believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is writing to his son Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Isn't that beautiful? Keep. The Holy Ghost is dwelling in you, keep it. I'm going to share now something I just learned a couple weeks ago. I was listening to a podcast by a dear brother, and he mentioned something that I'd never heard before. It's a very beautiful thing, and it has to do with prayer right here. And I'm going to give you an idea. Take it up if you want. This young man who serves God mightily in his capacity in a network for God was relating to the fact that when he was in high school, he was going to an older sister's house to visit with her. That older sister took it upon herself as a responsibility to pray for him. I don't know what college he went to. He probably went to some highfalutin college, but the guy's smart. He went away to college, but he would come back. And she was still praying for him. She was not related, apparently. And I will say that I'm looking for anybody else in here in my lineage. They're gone, but some of us are products, and I'm just only speaking what I know. I don't know what you know. But we are actually, as Paul was telling Timothy, he had a grandmother and mother. And if you're sitting here tonight, you probably are a product of prayer by a grandmother and a mother. Okay? What's striking to me, my grandmother passed away here a couple years ago at 101, 102. Things have changed. I don't know, but she's with the Lord. But here's the challenge that this guy is saying. Is he committed as a young man to visit with his sister to update her on his life so she could pray for him? And I thought, isn't that interesting? And you know something? There are plenty, and I'm just going to use older sisters for a moment. There are plenty of older sisters that would be happy, I believe, to pray for you. If you build that relationship, if you take that time to go visit with them and figure out if that's something that they have on their heart, doesn't have to be related to you, and it may not be near you. Maybe it's on the phone. There is plenty of lonely older sisters because they're outliving the guys and they're in full dependence, and they've got a tremendous job to do, and prayer is a tremendous thing. That was just a little thought I thought. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if young people would call up an older sister and say, I'd like to tell you about my life. I'd like to tell you about some of my directions and where I'm going, what I'm thinking about. Can you pray for me on this? Can I, you know? I'd like to check back with you on this. Older sisters also like, what are they like? Do they do email? Yeah. How about a little handwritten card? I don't know. Just a thought. Anyway, that's a little something that had to do with Daniel. He was a man of prayer. All right, so I mentioned this earlier. What was God's name for Daniel? Not the front row. God's name for Daniel. Sorry, I asked him. I think it's fun to ask him Dan's question. Huh? Yeah, say it, yeah. Oh man, greatly beloved. Oh man, greatly beloved. Isn't that beautiful? Oh man, greatly beloved. Think about it. He spends his entire life. He starts off around 16 when we pick him up, and we easily take him into his 80s, into his 90s. And somehow there's that consistency all the way along the way of all these things we've talked about. And oh man, greatly beloved. Isn't that beautiful? All right. Any questions? We'll wrap. If there's any questions, I love to take them. Yeah.
He had a dream with the king.
He had, yeah. So how many dreams did he have? How many dreams did he have to interpret? Well, he interpreted the one dream, right? With the image, and then he had the tree, right? So he got two dreams, I believe. Right? He was a man called on. But you will be a man and a woman called upon in your circle if, I believe, if you follow the separated from the world and separated unto Christ, and you're in prayer, and you're in the Word of God, and you got friends around you too. Isn't that beautiful? So, but this stuff over here, this world system stuff over here on the left-hand side, here's the deal. If you have too much ice cream, you're not going to like the cooking. That's the beautiful cooking that's got the salad and all the stuff you should be eating, right? And the ice cream was on the side. It's good. I mean, you might have a little taste here and there. I'm finding out I can have less taste. The older you grow, you have less taste of ice cream. But too much of this stuff gives you problems. Pursuant to Mark's Sunday school this morning, all those weights in the back. Okay? All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap. So we're within time or over time. Let's wrap and give thanks for. Are we having ice cream?
We're having food.
We're having food. Okay. All right. Let's ask God's blessing. Our Father, our God, we're thankful again for these young men and young women. And Father, as we leave this conference, we consider that thou entail and keep them. We think of these things as Daniel has outlined. We think of this world, Father, we're living in. Thou just leave us in here for a few more, whatever it may be, days, moments, weeks, years. And we ask for help. We ask for help that we would be close to thee, Lord Jesus, along the way. And that we would wait for thy coming, Lord Jesus, any moment. And then we have this little refreshment here. We have the games. We're thankful for this time that we can be together this evening and also this weekend. Again, Father, we just lift up the brethren here that have given us this opportunity to be together. And we love thee, Lord Jesus. We cry, even so, come. In thy name we pray. Amen. I get some glasses here. I don't know what I'm saying here. Just so everyone knows, we're going to play a scavenger hunt game for anyone who wants to participate in 20 minutes, 9:45. If you all wouldn't mind trying to move through the food and dessert lines quickly and get to eating so we don't run into the curfew and can start the game in 20 minutes, thank you for all your help. 9:45. I'm not going to be there.
I wear knee braces.